Welcome to Pitch Deck Series 5, where we'll be having bite-sized conversations with established investors in early-stage startups. Looking to provide you with great nuggets of information when raising or considering raising seed capital. Pitch Deck is supported by Trumpet. If you work in sales or marketing and are tired of spending hours a week creating sales decks, then Trumpet is for you. Design personalized, interactive, and trackable mini sites in a few clicks. Stand out from the crowd whilst also giving your customers a seamless experience from pitch to onboarding. To find out more, visit www.sendtrumpet.com. That's sendtrumpet.com. And join the best in brass. So I'm super, super excited this week to have Dan Murray-Serta in our pitch studio. Dan will need no introduction to a lot of you, but let's do one anyway. So Dan is an avid mental health advocate, community and brand expert, having started, scaled and succeeded with various companies over the last 10 years. His newest startup, Heights, which exists to make brain care as normal as skincare and hair care. This includes smart supplements, mental well-being, and bite-sized neuroscience, all combined to create proven pillars to make brain care simple. I'm also a customer of them. Dan is also creator and host of Rocket Ship podcast, Secret Leaders, the number one UK business podcast, delivering the stories behind some of the most impressive leaders of our generation, which I'm sure a lot of you have listened to. Dan also now angel invests and advises startups and is often quoted as the most connected entrepreneur in Europe. So, Dan, delighted to have you here, Mr. Connected.
That's a very good introduction. How much of it do you think is true?
Oh, I hope all of it. You can. I'll send it to you. You can pop it on your website if you want.
That's very kind. Thank you. Yeah, man, really glad to be on. Very thrilled to be invited back. I was obviously your first guest.
Yes, you were the first guest 5 series ago. So we've gone full circle and Heights is doing amazingly, which I'm super pleased to see. And as I said, I'm a customer and seeing the benefits. So thanks for bringing that to us.
You are a customer and you passed on it in Pitch Deck in the first episode as an investment. Yes. And it's done very well since. So
yeah, I regret that. But
fortunately done well, thanks to customers being exceptionally sticky and finding value in the product, which is exactly how really any business should be run and the value should be created. So first and foremost, most important value that you could add to any business, if you're listening, is becoming a customer and staying loyal so long as the product and quality and service stays great.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with that more. So yeah, let's dive into sort of the angel investment side of things that you do. So a question I like to ask operators, and you've run a few businesses and now you've got Heights as well, is do you tend to see decks or decks that are sent to you that are in the areas that you have worked in because people think that's what you know and love? And if so, does that actually make you tougher and more of a cynic to convince to invest because you actually, you know the pitfalls of those industries inside out?
It's a great question. Yes, I have to say, given that my past life was running a company called Gravel, which was, for all intents and purposes, mobile fashion. And mobile fashion and lifestyle, but certainly like, you know, e-commerce, fashion, etc. Every time I get pitched one of those, I'm so quickly negative. And to date, no one has been able to convince me to invest in their business in a similar field, like not one. And I'm always really honest up front. And I give the caveat you just gave, which is, listen, I ran a business here. It failed. I really tried all of these things. I'm a massive skeptic that this can work for lived experience. And every excuse you have about why it isn't going to work, I'll give you all of the lived experiences back about why it isn't. But, you know, this is the thing. I'm like very honest and upfront with people in advance that they're much easier convincing me to part with my money in an adjacent industry. But yeah, I've been pitched. Yeah, I mean, I'll put it this way. I've invested in over 50 companies now. 0 are in my previous space. And the majority of the pitches I've ever had have been from, oh, as you ran Gravel, I've been meaning you're like my number one target investor. I'm like, mate, I'm going to disappoint you so fast. Let me just be real with you. So yeah, so far, £0 extracted from me and zero confidence ever given back. And I feel bad and I try and spend the time. But yeah, no, not my vibe. I just don't. I also like, you know, there's, I guess, to an extent, there's like some PTSD around it as well. Not consciously, but it's like, I didn't enjoy it towards the end. I didn't enjoy it probably halfway through, and I certainly didn't enjoy it at the end. So like, I don't really want to be living that journey with people again if I don't need to. I'm out of it and I'm not interested.
Yeah, I feel that with hospitality as well.
Yeah, I can imagine.
So what verticals do you like? And do you tend to angel invest in things that you truly care about or ones that you can just see a great sort of business, you know, multiple opportunity as an angel investor or both?
Really good question. I'm trying super hard to be more disciplined. I started off very undisciplined as an angel investor and I basically just invested in my friends' companies. So I wouldn't invest in strangers. I only invested in my friends' companies. It hasn't gone amazingly well, but like that reality. But you know, to me, there's more to it than just like, you know, can you invest money, right? As in, like, I was helping people, and it was really meaningful to them, and that meant a lot to me as well. When they failed or when they really struggled, I've gone out of my way to make sure they know it's like there's literally nothing to do with the money here. I assume it's all gone from day one. Like, let me help you. Even like, you know, someone. You know, I help them get through liquidation and understand like the whole end-to-end process of it. And the whole time, you know, there was this like sort of guilt that they had towards me. And I was like, please don't, like, eradicate that. This like, literally, I'm your friend and this is painful for you, not me. So I think that's been great. But, you know, over a period of time, I've learned that, you know, just investing in your friends isn't a good rule. I then tried to create some rules about things that I really am actively interested in investing in. So mental health, sustainability, you know, really anything to do with like health and wellness. Those are like the three areas that I'm really interested in. And more when it comes to health and wellness, more like preventative things than, you know, more solution-based things, but only because I have my own philosophical view on this stuff as well. And then, yeah, like increasingly over the last year, lots of Web3 stuff because I'm quite heavily involved in that space as well. I've personally been in crypto and like that kind of world since about 2014, 2015. So pretty early before there were functioning websites or anything around it. I've weathered the entire 2017 bear market of absolute destruction without ever like selling anything. So, you know, I have what is referred to in that space as diamond hands. So, you know, I'm really interested and motivated by the opportunities in Web3, but not exclusively, right? So not to the behest of, you know, the majority of my investments are still in like what is now referred to as Web2 companies or current companies solving today's current problems rather than moving on to a whole technological stack. But I've tried to be, most importantly, I've tried to like diversify. The other rule that I've tried to create, you know, I've turned down a couple of business recently simply because I have something in my portfolio that is already kind of like this. Like, no two businesses are exactly the same, sure, but I try not to be conflicted and I try to be super principled. So happens a lot. Someone sent me a deck the other day. I was like, listen, I'm invested in a company that sounds super similar to this. I'm not even going to open your deck. Someone sent me his financials and everything straight up. And I was like, listen, mate, I'm invested in a competitor of yours. I'm not going to open any of this stuff. I think you should delete it all. But also, you shouldn't do this. A standard practice. You should never go all in to an investor you really want. Like, he'd really targeted me, as if he really wanted me. But I was like, you know, the only reason I wouldn't look at this stuff is because I've already invested in what I deem to be a competitor. And it wouldn't be appropriate for me to see this information, nor to share it. But don't take risks like that yourself as a founder. You know, qualify the investor that you're speaking to and make sure that they've earned the right to see private information, which I frankly hadn't. So to answer your question, used to be undisciplined, now more disciplined. And I'm actually learning, you know, with you, actually, but I'm learning with you more about power law, right? So more about spreading more bets more thinly across more industries. So I've certainly aped into a bunch of things at a variety of valuations that I just, you know, barely understand sometimes. And I know that sounds ridiculous, but you know, there's just some random sort of scientific sounding businesses that I just cannot get my head around. Or like, for example, I invested in a space company recently. to be fair, I am friends with the founder. I'm in that one. He is amazing. But I mean, he knows nothing about space and neither do I, but I still invested. So, do you know, I'm trying to like take some gambles. I'm like, what the fuck is this? All right, go on. So I'm just trying to get out of my comfort zone, right? Because how cool in 10 years if you're like, oh, I invested in that space company, people will think I'm a genius. So it's worth
it. You've got to take some moonshots, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. Literal moonshots. It's quite fun.
Yeah. And I agree with you on, you know, spreading bets widely. I think that is definitely at least the best way to start. So if you are doing that and you are seeing, you know, you've got your verticals that you like, but you're often, of course, seeing lots of verticals that aren't in those four that might interest you. Sort of how deep do you tend to go as an angel investor in terms of research? So you get the deck. Do you like deep dive on their competitor set? Do you deep dive on the industry, or are you more surface led and just chatting to a few networked people?
Totally the latter. I'm not a detail oriented like hunger type person at all. Like, you know, I'm all vibes, story. I definitely do send challenges, like you've seen today, you know, like even a WhatsApp group we're in together. Like, I'm not investing in the company that you've put out there, and I think it's a lovely business and I think it's really cool. Happen to use their competitor at Heights, but I'm not an investor in it. I just happen to use their competitor. I don't see it as a big enough opportunity, and I feel like the responses are a little bit average. You know, those are the kind of some of the examples of where I know, obviously, quite likely wrong, but those are some of more of the examples of where I'm like, no, this isn't one for me. And I think it's because I like to see founders that have a bit of an edge or a bit of a clear idea about like how they might win or what their unique point of differentiation is, or, you know, just some kind of hunger. So I'm very story led. I'm very like emotional connection, not my personal emotional connection to the thing, but like, you know, the founders, like their story, like their background, like why they're doing it and why it matters. And then, yeah, like, can they basically craft this reality for me that I might 100x my investment is the new lens that I'm trying to put on every investment. And I think the reason for that is because I probably overinvested last year. So I think I invested in too many businesses to my wife's shock and horror. At the same time as having a daughter, and so there's like, and moving into a house, and now we need to start up a house this year. And she's like, "Where's the money?" And I'm like, "Well, don't worry, it's in the most illiquid market possible." Yeah, exactly. But don't worry, there'll be some tax benefits in a few years. And she's like, "Well, where the fuck is like our baby going to live?" So, you know, I'm having to have a bit more discipline now when I think about my investments, and so I'm trying to think more in terms of, can this be the portfolio outlier? You know, just to give you more feedback, like, again, like when it comes to the deal we were looking at together today, I can't see it being a portfolio outlier. And I'm really trying to nail some discipline into my decision making. And I think that's the thing that has been developing in my angel investing journey. Not enough discipline, quite a lot of, not charity is totally the wrong word, but quite a lot of hope, you know, and kindness and support and all of those things. And that is fine. Like, I have nothing wrong with that. So many people have done that to me, and like the world goes round on that stuff. But when you start to have a portfolio of 50 plus companies, you do have to start thinking, all right, how many of these, if I look at them, how many of these are likely to be the outlier that's like that $1 billion company, right? And if you can't see many in there that you think could be that one, then you have to start investing like the next one will be. And that takes loads of discipline, right? Like everything in life, saying no is much harder than saying yes. So saying no to this deal is exactly the type of deal I would have said yes to 2 months ago.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with that. And I think people forget, like, investors are just people as well who suffer from impulsion and FOMO and you know, all the above. So
I'm wanting to do good, right? Like, you know, my personal brand and how I see myself in the world and how I show up in the world. You know, again, like the founder that you've brought to me, like he came to me directly as well, wanted me directly to invest. Like, you know, that means a lot to me. It takes quite a lot of discipline to say no to that, actually.
And you're talking about outliers. So obviously lots of founders listen to this podcast. So how can someone show you as an angel investor in a deck, let's say, that's the first thing you'll see, that they can be the outlier? What are you looking for in that deck that will make you think this could be the one?
It's a good question. I think market trends is like a really good one. So for example, like actually being able to explain, you know, this is a change that's happening in the market and this is therefore why this is a big opportunity. So if I just give you a couple of examples of brands that I have invested in that I'm really excited about, you know, I invested in Atai, which is like a psychedelics mental health company. And, you know, the pitch there is like psychedelics are the future of mental health, but they are currently like massively taboo. but we're building a patented, you know, a patented chemical compound for it, etc. You know, that happens to be the one company I've invested in that's gone public, so it's gone really well. But the point being, you can imagine that, right? You don't have to understand it. I do understand it because I've taken a whole bunch of psychedelics. So I do think that they are the future of mental health, but you don't have to invest in it. So I invested in that. I've invested in a company called Clark and Well Health. Again, they're doing like the therapy centers, like the infrastructure for when psychedelics might go mainstream here. That's a big play. I invested in All Plants, you know, because,
yes.
You know, JP realistically, right at the start is like, you know, veganism's a thing. And I mean, in fairness, I was vegan at the time, so that was a lot easier. but you get the point, right? As in like, yeah. He was vegan, I was vegan. We were the only two vegans we knew. But it was like, this is going to become a trend. I'm like, yeah, I believe in that. And I've invested in their A, I invested in their B. Like, I really deeply believe in them. I recently invested in Humanity, which is, you know, an app solving the problem of longevity. So giving people more data to live longer. And that is along the trend of like people are taking more personal responsibility to understand the things that they can do in their life that impact their lifespan. It's like, you know, yes, I understand that because I wear a Whoop and, you know, I look at my own health data to make sure, you know, I had an MRI scan last week because I could. Well, actually, to that point, I invested in a company called scan.com. You literally are making
MRIs.
So did MRIs. I. Oh, did you? Oh, I did.
Yes,
that.
I'm in that
I had
one
scan
too,
last week. Thank God I'm healthy.
Good.
But, you know, it's a perfect example, right? Like, again, like personal health, preventative health, like, you know, food, nutrition, mental health, MRIs, all of these things that are like putting, you know, the data in our hands and responsibility I can get on board with. I also invested in Fnatic, which is the world's number one esports team. I know nothing about esports. I'm not a gamer, but like, do I understand that that's a massive trend? Yes. Do I believe they know what they're doing? Yes. So, you know, these are, you know, I've invested a couple of random VR platforms. I don't know this stuff at all. Again, space, satellites, I don't get that. I don't know it, but like, what the pitch there was all about, like, now it's not just NASA, there's also SpaceX, there's also these other companies. These are the solutions that they need to actually create their operations at scale. So this is how we're solving that growing market that never existed in the past. I'm like, oh, okay, you're telling me that there is a new industry that's growing exponentially and it's underserved. That doesn't need to be space, that could be anything. But like, the narrative there makes perfect sense. There'll be a demand and you are going to be one of the very few people in that demand space. And it's also really hard to do. Awesome, I'm in. You know, so it's like the ones that really speak to me are the ones that have that sort of point of differentiation that they can point out that this is going to be growing and this is how we're going to approach it.
Yeah, I love that. So yeah, any founders listening, you know, that could be the why now slide. So it's, yeah, what are the tailwinds in trends that, you know, you've
exactly.
Fit nicely onto. So yeah, that's a great point. And final question is, obviously this is called pitch deck. So quick fire, three questions. So when you get a deck, how long do you tend to scan it for the first time? What do you think is too long for a pitch deck in terms of number of slides? And you know, top line, few bullet points on what you, apart from what we've just discussed, like what needs to be in a deck for you and what do you see in a deck that you hate?
I've got a few answers to this. So basically, I use DocSend and I'm always like pissed off when I see like people spend like 2 or 3 minutes on my fucking beautiful deck. How dare they? And then I get decks and I look at them for about 2 to 3 minutes. And I'm like, oh,
yeah.
Okay, fair. So I've had like the insight on both sides, right? So the answer is like 2 to 3 minutes. In terms of length, I think that's a really like, it's a bit of a weird loaded question because actually the thing that I learned with putting together the Heights deck was more slides was better on the basis of we put less info on there and it was very visual. And I have to say, I have never ever had, and it was my co-founder Joel really that did like 90% of hard work on our deck. Our deck is like, for our last fundraise, probably the most complimented deck I've ever heard of in my life. Like people really go out their way to tell us how great our deck was. I do have an article on LinkedIn, which is all about how to raise £1 million in 20 minutes crowdfunding. And that's a free article. It's open and like, you know, it's got links to everything, including the deck in there if you do want to see. But like the reality is, you know, there's two approaches. There's less is more. And then there's actually spacing it out and make it more visual. And like the most important thing that I learned in, as did Joel, like when we were really thrashing through our deck, and by the way, we thought our deck was amazing and then gave it around for feedback and got lots of feedback and were like pretty pissed off that people told us it wasn't the best thing that they ever saw, but it was worth it to get that feedback. The truth is like you want to take someone on a hero's journey. So again, when people send me their decks and I'm like, you know, they're very like, you know, slide one, slide two, slide three. I'm like, no, no, you know, you hear this stuff, like, what's the problem? What's the solution? Like, you really want to take people through the arc of the narrative. I personally believe, because this is placed to my strengths, that the job of a founder is to be a great storyteller. And if you can't be a great storyteller in your deck, you're probably not going to be a great storyteller as a brand or as a product or to consumers. And that kind of stuff is telling. So not all products and services lend themselves to great storytelling, right? But a lot do. And if you can get that across, you're going to win hearts and minds.
Yeah, love that. And yeah, I think that's going to be the interesting thing about this series is you're going to hear different views from different angels, where some are very much problem solution and others like to sort of see the narrative. Yeah, and feel the gut of the founder and where they're going to take it, especially at pre-seed seed. So yeah, I think that that's great for people to hear. So where's the best place for people to see all your amazing content on sort of mental health, well-being and investing? Where can they find you?
Yeah, so for sure, my favorite place for people to follow me is on Twitter at Dan Murray Serta. But you can also find me on LinkedIn there as well. Not as prolific as you on LinkedIn, Nick. I tried to spend more of my time this year on Twitter, but both those two platforms probably where you'll find me confidently sharing regularly. And I'm always happy to try and be supportive.
Yeah, I can vouch for that for sure. So yeah, have a look at what Dan's up to. And thank you so much for joining us, Dan.
My pleasure. Can I just do one slight, it's not a plug, it's actually a bit of feedback.
Yeah.
Which is, someone reached out to me the other day, and, you know, this is actually the person that sent me all of their information, etc. And I said, I'm invested in a competitor. I'm not going to open any of this, but I gave him, and I never opened any of his financial information, but I looked at his deck and I gave him really detailed feedback, also in the narrative and all this kind of stuff, and never heard from him again. And I think, don't be that person, right? Because I actually, it was like 11:30 at night. I was tired, but I pride myself on being a decent person. I took the time and I materially like went through his deck and made lots of different reasons and examples where it can be better. And you don't always have time to do that, but I wanted to do that because I'd probably just crush this person's idea of who their perfect investor was. So I wanted to add value back if I could, and never heard from them again. And I think, you know, reputation is built up over an entire career. And it's worth just trying to always be the best version of yourself. So don't be that guy.
I couldn't agree more. If someone takes the effort to especially give you detailed feedback on the deck, then the least you can say is thank you. So yeah
exactly. Just say thank you. Yeah.
Definitely. Awesome. Definitely be not that person, everyone. So thanks a lot, Dan.
Thanks, man.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. And if you enjoyed it, I'd hugely appreciate it if you can share it on socials or indeed just with your network. If you're feeling extra generous, I'd absolutely love it if you could leave us a review on Spotify, the Play Store or iTunes. That is the only way we get more listeners. So thanks for that. And just to remind you that Pitch Deck is sponsored by Trumpet. So go check out www.sendtrumpet.com.